This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for carnival pageantry, a chance to score a purse along the traditional uptown parade route, or a celebration of ancient India, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. There's a new exhibit at the New Orleans Museum of Art about a city surrounded by water and famous throughout the world for its celebration of Mardi Gras. Wait for it. Venice. It's the only venue in the country presenting the exhibit. It includes paintings depicting the pageantry of Venetian life, 300-year-old carnival masks, and regal glass objects. NOMA curator Vanessa Schmidt gives WWNO's Eileen Fleming a look at some of the treasures now on display.
So we're here at the exhibit A Life of Seduction, Venice in the 1700s, and I'm here with the exhibit curator, Vanessa Schmidt. Vanessa.
Hi, Eileen. Thanks for having me back.
Tell me how this exhibit got going.
Conversation started between our director and a group in Italy that do exhibitions. What is the exhibition? It is A Life of Seduction, Venice in the 1700s. Yes, it's quite a title. And the exhibition, as a general matter, focuses on the pageantry, splendor, and ceremony of public and private life in Venice in the 18th century. So that's the 1700s. We go through that overarching idea through four themes. The first theme is called A Life Lived on Water. The second section of the exhibition deals with ceremony and the pageantry around power and government. After that, we are in aristocratic life in the palace and country setting. And the fourth theme is called City as Theater. And it deals with carnival and opera, all sorts of aspects.
This lush red just pulls you in like a piece of velvet.
Yeah, I always saw the show in burgundy red.
Let's take a quick stroll before your grand tour of Venice for us. Yeah. And some of the first rooms are paintings.
I'm surprised, Eileen, that the first thing you mentioned was painting. Look what we're standing in front of.
Okay.
You see what we're standing in front of? Isn't it stunning? What we're standing in front of is a gondola finial, the decorative ornament at the front of the boat. Beautiful, outstanding metal work that has all these beautiful motifs. There's an animal, there's a bird, there's a lion, and it's really exquisite. So that actually centers our first room. It's incredibly sculptural. And around it, yes, you mentioned some paintings. So this first room of the exhibition is called A City That Lives on Water. And one of the things that is so special that you were exactly looking at just now is a group of 12 paintings that actually take you through the canals that are just a delight in their details. And I should mention they are here from Turin, and one of the exciting things about this exhibition is the loans are gathered from 15 museums of Venice, and a good deal of things that actually have never left Italy, including this over here. This wonderful ducal hat. Doesn't it almost look like a soft serve ice cream in a way? It's kind
yes.
of this beautiful sloping corn. It's called the corno, which means the corn.
And here we have some, are these costumes or are these actually the clothes of the day?
Oh, these are the clothes of the day. When we say costumes, of course, we use the term that we have costumes on display. That means to say historic clothing. And this is a first for NOMA. These are the first 18th century and historical costumes that NOMA's ever had on view. And so you see this woman's exquisite dress. This is white handmade quilting. Look at the details. And of course, to maintain such a perfect, crisp white, to
yeah.
iron it, to right. clean it, that of course is its own marker of status. It means you have a household to do so, right?
Right.
And then look at this boy's red robe. Boys were not breeched, as they called it, did not put on pants or go into their attire of manhood until they could be, it was decided on the family, maybe they were 5, 6, 7, or 8. And so he's wearing his beautiful red robe.
The shoes.
Ah, of course. How can I not talk about the shoes? What you're looking at are these two clogs. How high are they? I mean, they're probably about 10 inches off the ground. And so there are these elevated clogs, and they have kind of bone inlay, so they almost look Arabic in a way, right, in terms of the motifs. These are made of wood, but you had elevated shoes throughout antiquity, also throughout history, also in ancient Rome. And so these became highly fashionable in Venice, but of course there was no walking happening in these. You put them on, and then you were lifted up, and you just stood at a party, but you had your fabulous shoes on. It kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? This is the height of female vanity, my dear. Here we are in the last room. We call it the city as theater. So it is about theater in the city. This is a really important moment in the history of theater. Opera, Vivaldi, of course, was in Venice. We have a puppet theater, which are 18th century puppets that we've reconstructed the stage around. But it's also the scene, the city as theater is also about the festivities and festivals around squares in Venice, and that take place throughout the course of the year. So we have Fat Thursday. It's actually Fat Thursday that is celebrated in Venice, and festivities around that, other fairs. And there's, oh, look over there, there's a wonderful little soccer game. That's 18th century soccer.
The puppets.
These are from the Casa Goldoni, which is a place in Venice. It's a place where Carlo Goldoni, who was a playwright, his portrait is over there, it was where he was born. And it's a small museum in Venice dedicated to theater, and this is a puppet theater. The puppets are staged to recreate Act 3 of Goldoni's Two Servants play that was written in 1645. And in fact, this puppet theater would have been in the palace of a family portrayed, the Sagredo family, in the Longhi portrait over there in the other room, which I think is their wonderful interconnections throughout the show. And so they are staging his exquisite play.
Vanessa? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eileen.
A Life of Seduction, Venice in the 1700s, runs at the New Orleans Museum of Art through May 21st. Back home, parades leading up to Fat Tuesday are in full swing. The Mystic Crew of Knicks rolls tomorrow night with Grammy Award-winning singer Irma Thomas, Soul Queen of New Orleans, serving as Grand Marshal. The all-female crew continues to grow and this year puts a new spin on the iconic Mardi Gras doubloon. Knicks captain Julie Lee joins us by phone. Hello!
Hi!
The Crew of Knicks is a young parade on the traditional Uptown Carnival route. What are your thoughts as this female crew continues to be a popular attraction for parade lovers?
We are so excited to put on a beautiful parade for the citizens and visitors of New Orleans, and we're having a great time doing it.
What can we look forward to?
This year it will be our biggest parade. We have 42 floats, 2,951 riders, a host of marching bands and groups.
Where does that name come from?
The crew was formed in March 2011, and when I was researching names, I was looking through Greek mythology and Roman mythology, and I just really liked the idea that the name had never been used here in New Orleans, and that she was a goddess of night.
You've got a lot to be excited about this year, especially with your iconic Grand Marshal. Why is Irma Thomas such a perfect fit for this crew?
Irma just embodies the spirit of New Orleans, and with her being a musician, it just really goes with our theme this year. She is just a wonderful, wonderful icon of New Orleans. We enjoy using ladies who are popular here in New Orleans, local celebrities. Of course, Miss Irma is known everywhere, but she was just perfect.
Ruler of my heart, robber of my soul, where can you be? I wait patiently. My heart cries out. Pain inside. Where can you be? I wait patiently.
Will we get to see a sneak performance by Irma Thomas along the route?
I don't know. I don't think so. But you never know. You never know.
Tell me about the special carnival throw.
This year we are introducing our purse-shaped doubloons. So most aluminum doubloons are round, as everyone knows, but this year these will be shaped like a purse. There's actually a handle, a little handle, cut out on the purse with our year and theme on it. And we're doing them in six colors. There's purple, green, gold, and silver. And then there's a hot pink purse captain's doubloon and a black officer's purse doubloon. So the whole set of six is something that people are really trying to catch this year. It's going to be a great item for all the collectors.
The handbag itself, your signature throw, how did that come about?
One of our sister crews throws beautiful hand-decorated shoes. And so when I was thinking of the idea, I said, well, what better accessory to go with those gorgeous shoes than a beautiful hand-decorated purse?
And what do they look like?
They are all shapes and sizes. The members glitter them and glue beautiful accents to them, feathers and beads and baubles. They get to express their creative side. Each official purse has the name of the crew and the year on it, and the ladies have a certain number that they can throw. So it makes it really special when people in the crowd catch one. People from all around the country have sent us pictures of themselves carrying their Knicks purses, and people display them in their homes and offices. So it's a wonderful way for people to take home a piece of the Knicks parade.
And I understand that you guys have goddesses instead of queens in your parade.
Right, we do. Our goddess this year is Mrs. Zena Williams. She works for a local law enforcement agency in the city. And she's a charter member, absolutely thrilled to be chosen as goddess this year. And we're excited to have her parading with us as our goddess Knicks Six.
You also have a dancing troupe.
We do, our Nola Knicks set, a little bit modeled after the Rockettes with a little New Orleans flair thrown in there. So they lead us off every year. They will be performing in front of my float, and this will be their fifth parade with us.
There's a serious side to Knicks. As you guys reach out with community service initiatives, can you tell us about this year's initiative?
We worked very closely with the Autism Society of New Orleans to bring awareness to autism and to get a more locally involved group of people together to raise money and to help with research for autism. So many people are affected by it that it was something we wanted to bring even more awareness to this year.
Do you reach out to different groups every year?
We do. In the past, we work with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. We've also worked with the American Cancer Society to help bring awareness and do our part and give back to the community. It's very important, and we love to do those kind of things.
And what is your wish for Mardi Gras 2017?
That we have a wonderful, safe, beautiful weather, and that the crowd just enjoys the hard work and everything that we've gone into to put on a beautiful parade for them this year.
Mystic crew of Knicks captain Julie Lee, happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras.
The Mystic crew of Knicks rolls tomorrow night on the Uptown Parade Route at 6:45, immediately following the Ancient Druids. Hey, Mardi Gras. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Another celebration is brewing post-Mardi Gras. Save the date, March 5th. That's when India Fest 2017 kicks off at the New Orleans Museum of Art. The biannual family festival presented by the Indian Arts Circle of New Orleans will transport you to ancient India with festivities that bring to life the art and culture of South Asia. Co-founders Irmila Kamath and Chitra Pransankumar are here. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
You must be very excited and proud that the third India Fest is getting underway. What are your thoughts about the festival's growth and its popularity in this community?
The first year, in spite of the rains, we had over 1,700 people attend. And 2 years ago, in 2015, we had over 2,500 people attend, plus all our volunteers. We are really excited that it's growing and that the local community is interested in what we have to present.
So how did the all-day family event get its start?
Well, I think Chitra and I have been wanting to do something like this for years.
It just happened that Urmila and I mentioned it to Noma at one of our get-togethers, and they were really excited. So it came together in 2013 for the first time.
Will New Orleanians notice any similarities between our cultures?
I would say in some part of the music, possibly, because of the improvisational aspect of Indian music. And another thing that we have in common, I would say, is the nonviolence movement that we had in India and with Martin Luther King here locally.
This year, what's the theme for the event?
Ancient India. We have four different presentations this year. One of the talks is about the peopling of India. Did you know that we are a land of 1 billion people with 300 languages and 25 scripts? You will find out also that a large portion of us came from East Africa, and a whole lot more that is eye-opening for all of us. The other talk is about Hindu philosophy, about words like karma and dharma, and the meaning of these words and how pertinent they are to our daily lives. Robert Arnett will also talk about India in great detail.
Robert Arnett is our best ambassador from India. He has visited India very frequently, written a couple of books, one of which is called India Unveiled. His talk is going to be on ancient India, the timeless heritage.
How else will we experience the culture of India?
We're going to have a classical and folk dance. At the end of each performance, we are going to invite our audience to come and try it out. So that was the fun part of our festival 2 years ago, when the great hall was full of people that wanted to learn how to do some of our dances. And a lot of children's activities. We're going to have names of the kids written in different Indian languages. Our special project this year is dressing up paper dolls in traditional Indian costumes.
Wow. One of the popular things you had in the past was teaching people how to wear traditional Indian dress, a sari. Is that going to be offered this year?
Absolutely. That's been one of our very, very well-attended features. We've also been asked to have saris for little kids, and I think we're going to have that this year. Make sure you take a picture when you wear that sari. And one more thing, Noma has opened up a new Indian art gallery on the third floor. The curator will take us on a tour. The exhibit contains a lot of sculptures and Indian tapestries.
And what about the food? You can't have a festival without food.
We have vendors who are providing food who are all local Indian restaurants. Saffron, which is a fusion Indian kind of restaurant. Taj Mahal and Nirvana, which has existed for many, many years. And the last one is Silk Road. All of them have a very varied menu. You'll find many different kinds of chicken dishes, eggplants and potatoes, roasted mango drink. They are going to have vegetarian and non-vegetarian offerings, focusing mostly on North Indian style cooking.
What is Northern style Indian cooking?
It's non-vegetarian. South Indians don't eat a whole lot of meat. Very few parts of South India are non-vegetarian. North Indian style uses different spices. The base is pretty much the same. They use turmeric and chili powder and coriander, cumin, things that we all know. But they do not use much coconut, which we use a lot in the South. And they don't use the heavier spices. It's a more lighter spice. It's a more curry-based cooking. And that's what you'll find a lot of.
It's interesting to me because I always thought that the culture was predominantly vegetarian.
It is for a large part, but most of the North does eat a lot of chicken, lamb, mutton. We do not eat beef in India for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of fish.
Can you describe one of the dishes that might be new to New Orleanians that we'll find at India Fest?
There is going to be, I believe it's a skewered meat presentation, which is a variety of meats made in the tandoori style. They're baked in a clay oven, and it could be a combination of chicken, a lamb, beef over here, all roasted and skewered, almost like a barbecue, but with a lot of Indian marination and spices in it.
And this is from where?
From northern India, mostly from Punjab, the state of Punjab.
Now, the grand finale is special this year. What will we experience?
We have a local artist that will play the dhol.
This drum, dhol, D-H-O-L. How is it used?
It's mostly used in folk dance in India, as well as at weddings. This is one drum with two faces on it.
The person is walking as they're playing it. It would be like almost like a drum in our Mardi Gras processions, something similar to that. They lead the procession. The dancers follow them to the beat of the dhol, usually. They come dancing into the place where the wedding ceremony is going to take place. It is festive, it's noisy, it's colorful, it's fun. It really brings the whole celebration alive.
What are you hoping folks will come away with after this unique experience?
They will learn a lot more about India that is more than just song and dance. It's like an all-day event that will really showcase India in a good way.
There's just so much more that they're going to learn about our culture and how lively and wonderful and old it really is.
India Fest co-founders Irmila Kamath and Chitra Prasankumar, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
Save the date. The Indian Arts Circle of New Orleans presents India Fest 2017. Sunday, March 5th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the New Orleans Museum of Art. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.